This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 120. Tom, what is going on?
So much.
A lot, actually, because you're birthdaying today. Happy birthday.
Thanks. Hi.
Hi.
Coming to talk about things I've watched
yes.
on your birthday.
And what a way to celebrate. What an adult way to celebrate. I remember one birthday I spent at work really early in the morning. Then I drove to Sydney and then I was really tired at my birthday dinner and then I went to bed. And I went, wow, I think I spent the majority of that time in a car by myself. But I remember it.
Sure. Birthdays are a weird thing. They don't matter for a while. And then when you have I've got a kid and so she gets very excited about it. And now birthdays are a thing again.
Is she starting to try and drop hints as to what she's got you for a present?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's been teasing it for weeks and trying to hype it up. And it's a good thing you like hats and all that sort of stuff.
Have you gotten the present yet or
I have.
Is it brilliant?
It was very good.
Awesome.
Well picked.
Brilliant. Mm. She must have gotten the picking power from you.
Mm.
It's nice. Very nice hat. Mm. I can see it now.
And now, a word from our sponsor. When you're a top athlete, it's not unusual for reporters to want to stick a camera in your face and a microphone right next to your mouth for an interview. It's part of the job, one of the many roles a sports person has to play. But what do you say when the spotlight's on you? You have to be prepared, and with the sporting person's cliche handbook, you'll be ready for any question thrown at you. You'll sound so confident and knowledgeable with phrases such as, "I just went out there and gave it 110%. It's a game of two halves. Yeah, they were the better team on the day. Look, insert relevant sport here, was the real winner of the day. We just went in and played our game. No one's playing for sheep stations. We came to play and we played hard. Yeah, well, I think we need to go back and take a hard look at ourselves. Never be left speechless in a live after-match interview again with the all-new and terribly important Sporting Person's Cliché Handbook. In stores today.
We have got stuff we've watched. I've got something I've played.
Ooh.
And a fair bit of news.
So much news.
Mm.
I've got a few stories, but some of them are pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want to go with one of your biggest?
I'm sure it's one you've got as well.
Probably.
About No Time to Die, the Bond film, being delayed to November. And that's just another effect of this coronavirus.
I know. It's really now making an impact on everything.
Mm.
I was half listening to a podcast a couple of days ago and they were talking about how it could even impact the next generation of Xbox and PlayStations, because they're supposed to come out, I think, this year or next.
I think tail end maybe this year.
I think so, yeah. Well, yeah, okay, that makes sense because they could potentially be pushed over because
they won't have the parts.
Where's it all made?
This is Apple's going through the same thing of whether the new iPhone will eventuate this year at all, just because everything's shut.
It's nothing like I have remembered. I mean, I think about swine and bird flu, and was SARS a separate thing or was that one of those? I can't remember. But they were in the periphery. For swine flu, I was traveling somewhere, so I was a little bit worried, but it was not in Asia. Therefore, my worry was, you know, stunted, I guess would be a word to describe it. But this is like, it's everywhere. Well, the school that I used to go to closed yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. There was a girl in year seven who was tested positive. So it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Well, they've just cancelled South by Southwest as well.
That's huge.
That is huge. And, you know, There's different festivals and concerts and things that are being cancelled and saying that they'll postpone and come back later and stuff. But there's a pretty good chance that this unfortunately will kill South by Southwest because someone's already looked at their legal documents and all their insurance doesn't cover pandemic.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I was reading Cannes Film Festival, despite all of the problems that we're having, they've actually given out more media accreditations. So they seem to be going full steam ahead. But I think obviously they're a little bit later. But what about something like E3, which is the gaming one? That's soon, I think.
Yeah. Everyone's pulling out of all the different conventions. DC has cancelled all their appearances, all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, there was meant to be a convention in Seattle, I think, this weekend or maybe last weekend. That
just didn't happen?
Yeah.
Oh, just devastating.
Yes. So the long-term effect of this is going to, you know, the virus itself is terrible.
Mm.
And, you know, but the wider effects of this are going to last for a long time. Yeah.
Butterfly effect, that's what it is. Pretty bad. Let's keep on the sad news.
Mm.
Max von Sydow died this week at the age of 90.
It's pretty good innings.
And amazing innings. And this guy was in everything. He was the guy that was in everything.
Yeah.
He absolutely was. What I thought was interesting was he was born in Sweden, and his mentor was Ingmar Bergman.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool. Did a few movies with her. And then The Exorcist,
mm-hmm.
was it two of them, I think?
Yeah.
He was in other stuff like Conan the Barbarian, Dune, Judge Dredd, Minority Report, Force Awakens. He was, of course, the Three-Eyed Raven in Game of Thrones. Not the first one, though. Do you remember there was a shot of the Three-Eyed Raven at one point in, like, the tree bark
stuff? Sure, yes.
And yeah, I don't think it was him. Yeah. But when it was more than just the tree, it was him. Was Max. He was in everything. He was in games. He was in Skyrim.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was one of the voices in there.
What a dude.
I know.
So much cool stuff.
Yeah, sad to hear.
Searching for felines near Melmac? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, some news that had a lot of our American friends very excited. The show never got that big here, but Kids in the Hall is coming back for another season on Amazon. That is a Canadian sketch show from the 90s.
Was that the one? Was Jim Carrey in that?
No, that was In Living Colour.
Okay.
So Kids in the Hall.
I thought Canadian.
They're a very alternative comedy, very silly. Dave Foley is probably the biggest name to come out of that group, but the five of them, they're awesome, and their stuff is very cult favorite.
So it's that cast, the original cast, coming back?
So the five guys are back, and 8 episodes for Amazon Prime.
Nice.
Probably, I don't know if it will be this year or next.
Okay.
I'm not sure where they're at in production and this sort of stuff, but that's pretty damn cool.
It'd be interesting to see how their comedy has changed, or if it has, or how it works in 2020.
That's right. One of them is very openly out,
mm-hmm.
and he's done some very provocative character work in the past with that. But now that that isn't such a thing, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out,
how he's
adjusted. Because I've seen bits and pieces of he still plays one of these characters,
mm-hmm.
and that person's become far more sardonic and
okay.
pithy.
Okay.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, right.
So kind of like how a few years ago Mr. Show came back for another season of some episodes on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those cool things of just get the sketch comedy team back together, give them some money, let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you never know. It could end up being more than just the 8 episodes.
It could be, but I wouldn't bank on it. These guys seem to self-implode regularly.
Oh, okay.
In the best way possible.
Yeah.
It's the nature of their comedy.
They just can't be around doing all the things.
Kind of like The Chaser.
Yeah,
they
right.
They come together once every 5 years and do something great, and then the rest of the time they do stuff that's okay. Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
you enjoy bits and pieces, but when they come back together, they've got the right creative energy.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Shane Jackson. That tall bloke who was in, I'm sure he was in 30 Rock at some point in time, but he's been in all of the things. Like, he's done a lot of work recently. Well, he's going to be with Blossom, a.k.a. Mayim Bialik,
mm-hmm.
in a new show called Call Me Cat for Fox over in the US. It's going to be like a sitcom, multi-camera, straight-to-series comedy. Her and Jim Parsons sort of pitching this.
Sure.
If you're wondering what it's about, it's the US version of the UK show Miranda.
Oh.
It's exactly what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. So she will be Miranda.
Yes.
Well, Kat. And he will play, if you remember the first season, I think it was the first season of Miranda, the love interest that she pined after. So it should be funny. I mean, those people have done stuff and it's from a series that was quite amusing. So
will Jim Parsons be in it?
It doesn't say at the moment.
Probably not. Probably just get that EP credit.
Yeah.
Get the money
get
each week.
Get the money. Mm. Yeah.
Very nice. Disney Plus moving forward with more reboots and more, all that sort of stuff. They've said they're going to do a prequel for Beauty and the Beast, but focused on Gaston and LeFou.
Oh, no, I saw stuff about this. This has got the two actors who were in the movie.
Josh Gad and Luke Evans.
That's right.
No relation to Chris Evans.
I always wondered that, you know.
I think he was in, like, Bros.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's him.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
I could be wrong, but, like,
if you're wrong, I'm going to be sad, not that because you're wrong, but because now I want that to be the case.
Well, he was in one of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh,
he was like, Dracula?
Mm-hmm.
Not in Fast and the Furious, but that would be awesome.
That would be an amazing crossover.
I would. It's not far off happening.
Yeah.
It's got to.
Jump the Dracula.
So the two of them back, I imagine there'll be some songs. And I think it's going to be a series rather than a film.
Okay.
But
that could work.
Yeah.
I saw this week, speaking of series, that The Last of Us, Naughty Dog, PlayStation's game, is going to be made into an HBO series. Not only do they have the writer of the games on board for the show, which is apparently something that they don't usually do, but they also have the, I think it's the writer, maybe he had more to do with Chernobyl, but Chernobyl. So you got Last of Us and Chernobyl people involved in this. And I think
that's
HBO
a good mix.
Is the place for this kind of thing to go. Way better than a movie, because if I remember correctly, that game was set in seasons. So you had sort of your spring or whatever. And I can just see that working well as episodical for a show. I'm looking forward to it.
Giraffes.
And lots of giraffes, please. Lots of giraffes. What else did you see this week?
So pretty cool. Season 2 of Mandalorian has wrapped production.
Awesome.
They have finished filming. Now, in a beautiful world, we'd get those episodes later this year. We can hope. We can dream.
We can hope so.
I know they're saying October. With the way things are going.
Yeah, everything could potentially get pushed back.
But I really hope, because, I mean, this could be Disney having Disney Plus.
Mm.
If the theatres become an unappealing place for a little while, then they're in a really good position that they're already pumping out content.
That's interesting you say that, because I was reading a bit of an article today about Bob Iger's new role. He's basically, you know, getting everything right creatively for Disney Plus. And it was a Hollywood Reporter article, and they were talking about how, you know, Disney went gangbusters. They had, I can't remember, let me find the number, 28 million subscribers in just 3 months of the platform
being open.
It's huge. And The Mandalorian was its biggest show or biggest thing streamed on the platform. Now, I've got all these shows coming up, but there's not really anything at the moment.
That's right. Like, we're still waiting for Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision later in the year.
Like, heaps of movies and stuff that you can go back and watch. Obviously, the kids will love it because there's all the movies, and kids love rewatching stuff like Frozen over and over again. But for adults, it's a bit.
I'm still waiting on that behind-the-scenes show from the Animal Kingdom and things like that that they've said original content is coming, and we know it's coming, but it's just
taking a little while, isn't it?
Some.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it kind of will be a lucky happenstance for them if the cinema becomes less appealing and more, more people wanting to watch at home.
And they've got all these new shows coming out, throwing movies.
They may just start pivoting and focusing even more on Disney+.
I wonder as well if they're going to really utilize the fact that they've got Hulu as well.
Sure. That's got to be part of the plan.
It has to be, right? I mean, they have moved some things over. And I know that Hilary Duff wanted Lizzie McGuire to go over, whether that happens or not. But maybe there is stuff where they're like, oh, we either need to tone it down for Disney Plus, or let's just make more stuff for Hulu instead of dropping stuff. Because apparently they've dropped a lot of things that were being created.
I can imagine some of the Fox stuff that was perhaps in the works, maybe jumping over.
Yeah.
Still waiting outside a pizzeria for Fry to return? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've got some Christian Bale news.
Oh, do you?
He wanted to be a bad guy in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And he's gotten his wish. He's going to be a supervillain in the next Thor movie.
It's funny because my next news story is also about Thor 4.
Well, Tessa Thompson gave this bit of info away. Did she give the bit of info away that you've got?
Nope. Oh. Vin Diesel gave my own away.
Really? Yep. What is it?
You go first.
Oh, well, that's basically it. I know that Taika said if you like Ragnarok, that sort of outlandish, big, bombastic film, he said we're trying to double down on everything we did with that and create something that's even more crazy.
Nice.
So I'm really looking forward to it because Ragnarok was a great movie.
Joining in with that, Vin Diesel has confirmed that he's already chatted with Taika and the Asgardians of the Galaxy will be back.
Okay.
They will be featuring in Thor 4. Probably,
fantastic.
Probably just kicking Thor off the ship at the beginning of the film for being an oaf or something like that.
I think I'll be okay with that.
But still, we will get some in there.
As long as we get a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson's pretty busy. I saw that she's had all the photos taken with... what's her name? Evan Rachel Wood and
Aaron
and Thady Newton.
Thandy.
Gosh, I'm really struggling with the so the Westworld's coming.
Next week, isn't it?
Yeah, the 15th. Mm. So that's huge.
Mm. Haven't worked out how I'm gonna watch yet because I ain't got Foxtel and I'm not going back.
I'll just give you my password.
Foxtel Go.
Hmm.
Oh, cool.
Easy.
Sorted. Yeah, I refuse to go back to them.
See, because they've got all the HBO stuff.
Yep.
And I know that there's stuff that I want to watch on HBO.
I'm happy to wait for most of HBO stuff to drop. Like I said, I haven't watched Avenue 5 yet.
Oh, haven't you? No. I thought you said, oh, okay.
I saw the pilot.
That's
but
right.
I haven't watched.
I remembered the mentioning. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to give myself some time to rewatch the second season again. I was talking about it with my cousin, Jasper. He was, because he's a Westworld fan as well, and he's like, what do you think of season two? Because we were talking about the fact that season three is coming out. I went, I remember bits of it, but it was just all over the place. And it was also the way I watched it. Season one, I watched it all in about 3 days.
Sure, okay.
Season two, I had to wait week to week. And he said, yeah, me too. So it wasn't the binging, I think, helps with Westworld because
it really
it's very confusing.
I've watched both seasons week to week around at a mate's place.
Mm.
And it's good, but I didn't love season two the same way I did season one.
Mm.
I'm sure if I watched it in a block, it'd be more enjoyable. I'm almost tempted to try this season. I wish you could live in a vacuum and not be spoiled because I would love to wait and then binge it and do it that way.
Me
I think
too.
It'd be better. But
me too. It may not be for us though.
No.
You had one more news story?
No.
Oh, it was the Vin Diesel story.
Yes, but I've got some trailers.
Yeah, cool. Fire away.
All right. So I saw a trailer for a show that looks like something you'd enjoy and it made me feel sick. It's called Eating History.
I watched that trailer too.
Yeah. And it's guys who eat. I don't know. The trailer was what? Eating crackers from the Civil War.
Yeah. See, the name alone makes you think it's going to be one of those period ones, like with Sue Perkins and whoever the bloke was, where they pick an era and they have to eat like you're living in medieval times or whatever. But this is they're actually eating food from that time.
And like the trailer, you know they're going to be opening rank cans.
Yeah, they had the cans there, you know, like World War II ration kind of cans. You probably don't have to, right? Like you don't have to.
You don't. You can just say you did.
I probably will watch the show though.
I know you will. It looks awful.
I don't know how many episodes I'll get through, but
I don't think that's a binger.
Well, also they'll run out of cans.
This is true.
Have any else to watch? All right, come on, palate cleanser. What other trailer have you seen?
Oh, you say palate cleanser, but I'm not. No, I'll come back to that one because we can't dive okay. into this one yet. So I saw the trailer for Future Man season 3. I will be talking about Future Man season 2 in a moment because I finally got around to watching it.
Awesome.
And I did the same thing as I did with season 1 of. I had to wait. It's a Hulu show, so I have to wait till I get the whole season, and I wait till I'm in a real good mood, and then binge it real quick. And you know, I'm not a quick binger, but I did Future Man season 2 in like 2 days.
Oh, fun.
We'll get to that. Season 3, Seth Rogen looks like he's in the show properly now. So he's been executive producer on the show always. Season 2 ends with him appearing. And season 3, it looks like he's going to be far more involved. They're now in the Dicathlon, which is like a decathlon, but it's Hunger Games or like Running Man. Yeah. So they're now in a televised live, you know, fight for your life in the far, far future.
I only watched the first season, but now you've got me thinking.
So we'll talk about season 2. Yeah. We'll get to that. I'm pretty amped. There's a film coming from, is it DreamWorks? Yes, DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
DreamWorks movie coming from Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, the guys behind Into the Spider-Verse.
Mm.
And Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs and the Lego movie and all these sorts of things. They've got a film coming called Connected. So it's an animated movie starring Abby Jacobson, Danny McBride, Maya Rudolph, Eric Andre, and Olivia Colman.
Well, you said a couple of people that now I have to mandatory watch it. Maya Rudolph and Olivia Colman.
Likewise for me, Eric Andre and Danny McBride.
Mm.
I don't know what to say about this. The trailer was even the trailer seems a bit spoilery of what twist is. But basically, it's a family teenage girl is unhappy because her family force her into going onto a road trip to get disconnected from the technology. They're always on their phones and this sort of stuff. And as they head out on the road trip, the robot uprising begins.
Oh no!
And the apocalypse kicks off. And it's an
when's this coming out? I need to watch right this very second.
It sounds it looked amazing, and it had the secret weapon for this film is the family has a pug that is one of the cutest CGI creations I've ever seen.
You know,
eyes
I'm thinking,
rolling around.
I'm
everywhere.
Thinking of the pug from Men in Black.
It's not far off.
Okay,
it's an ugly looking dog.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm here for this movie.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Connected.
What a great cast.
Yes, and then. All right, gather around, friends, because we're about to get real. There's a movie coming out called Butt Boy, and it's an independent film that has played at some festivals and is getting rave reviews for its creativity. And it stars a guy who appears to be a very normal suburban family dad who maybe has the superpower to hide anything up his butt.
Okay. All right. That's a sentence.
But it looks, the style of it made me think of Drive.
Right.
You remember Ryan Gosling and that sort of grittiness. And this guy somehow gets up. Well, I don't know, somehow. Maybe he's hiding things for the mafia.
Mm.
And the beginning of the trailer is like, maybe he's hiding some drugs and stuff. And by the end is, this guy might be sex trafficking children in his butt or something.
See,
or kidnapping or something.
That it sounded like it was going to be a comedy, and I had pictured Brent from The Good Place as the dad, and now all of this, it's unraveling my thought process.
That's what I mean. This film apparently goes to some real dark places, but is also very funny.
Yeah, I guess it's one that we're going to have to
keep an eye out for.
Yeah, because it.
But boy, don't wipe it from your memory.
I thought you were going to talk about the final Black Widow trailer.
No, but I have seen that.
Mm. So that's more of her and her family. A couple of funny bits in there. Lots of action. A lot of snow.
And a lot of shots of Taskmaster, the villain, recreating moves from the Avengers, which you won't. The average person might not realize on first go through, but he handles Cap's shield the exact same way. He jumps forward and claws come out the same way as Black Panther. He kicks in the air and does a backflip and lands perfectly like Spider-Man. At one point, he's unsheathing a bow and doing the exact same position as Hawkeye.
Just copycat.
Complete copycat. We see a shot of Taskmaster sitting and watching monitors of Black Widow from Iron Man 2. So learning her moves from there. But it looks like they're not ripping off too much of the tech. Like I don't – they didn't show Taskmaster using Ant-Man shrinking or Falcon wings or something that needs to be recreated.
They like to hide stuff.
They
though.
Do like to hide stuff, but they're more playing up the fact that this person's superpower is photo reflexive memory. Right.
Yeah.
I had to remember what the term is, but I think it's photoreflexive memory.
Okay. Is this the last movie ever for Black Widow? Because it's a prequel. Okay. She makes too much money for them.
I don't want to say. There's a big twist. There could be a huge twist. Do you want me to say? Do you want me to put my money on the line now?
Yeah, go on.
I feel like if it's one of those things that I get right, then people are going to be like, Tom called that. Dance in my mind now. I think they're all clones, and I think Taskmaster is a clone of her.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she died in Endgame, maybe that's the Taskmaster version of her.
That died?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, maybe it's the original, but the Taskmaster version is still running around and can be redeemed.
So, yeah, so we've said goodbye to the real her, but there's still another version of her that we could still grow to love, respect, and watch again on screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a big, 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 big maybe. But it's
a maybe.
I wouldn't put it past the Russian Red Room 90s
never,
spy program.
Ever say never, ever to stuff that happened in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing. Is that all the trailers?
That
I
is.
Think it is. All right, let's get into stuff that we've watched.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What was your top pick this week?
Look, as I mentioned, I watched Future Man season 2. And I've had it sitting there for so long and just been meaning, and I've been waiting till I'm in the right mood for it, and I really was. And kind of similar to the first season. So it has a stellar first episode that pulls the rug out from you and you get confused. And then it takes 5 or 6 episodes where it really slows down the pace but builds the world up. And then the last 5 episodes is just destroying everything possible and writing themselves into a corner.
So definitely if you've started the second season and you're like, I'm not really feeling this.
It really comes together.
Okay.
Very, like.
It pays you. It pays you for watching.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in the same way that first season was really silly, kind of like Good Place, a really silly show but dealing with some big, heady topics. So that first one was about can you change the past and this sort of stuff.
Mm.
And the second season was, yeah, we did, and we made it much, much worse.
Mm.
Should we keep altering this?
Mm.
And by the end of the season, it's fuck it.
We've got nothing to lose.
There is literally nothing to lose. Let's fuck with it as much as we can. And that then leads into what's going to happen with season 3 of
cool.
They're in a lot of trouble.
Hmm.
I was really impressed. The guy that plays Wolf, who's now Torg, they in this new reality thing, they're only the 3 of them remember.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
But the other versions of them are still there. So Josh, like Josh Hutcherson from Hunger Games and that, he becomes known
Future
as
Man.
Yes, he becomes known as J-1. Whereas he was Douche for a while, he becomes J-1 because of a Terminator-style plot where there are many of him now running around.
That's interesting for not only him because he's going to have to act the same character but slightly differently so that you can figure it out, but also for the directing and the editing, like there's a lot of work that has to go in there for the storytelling to make sense. Or is it just because he knows?
It's because they keep testing on him and he keeps dying.
Okay.
So there's a giant pile of him dead bodies fueling things.
Ah, almost like Matrix style.
Uh-huh.
That show is
really out there. And then, yeah, I don't want to say exactly what happens, but the I think it's the second last episode has one of the most creative uses of a time travel machine, if they have a window of 11 seconds
mm.
and they can't get far enough in that 11 seconds. So instead of trying to do it, they just keep running forward 11 seconds and hitting the reboot.
It sounds like a video game.
Well, it means that it's one long take
yeah.
down a long hallway of you watching them jump forward 11 seconds, run, hit the button, jump forward, but you then see them appear behind themselves 11 seconds. Like,
so they're constantly reproducing themselves.
Yep.
Huh.
So they might break reality because it's not like, hey, Back to the Future rules, don't run into your past self.
Mm.
Well, they're 11 seconds behind their 1,000 iterations of themselves.
They can't even get a break.
It's very clever.
If you need to go to the loo, you just can't. You've got to just hold it.
Haley Joel Osment brings it.
Oh, good.
He's a main proper character this season.
Cool.
Bad guy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good twist.
But lovable.
A lovable bad guy.
Yep.
Kind of like some of the people from The Bad Place.
Yes.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
I said I was playing something because, as you know, the PlayStation Plus gives you free games every month.
Yes.
And sometimes you look at them and go, I'm going to add that to my library and never play it. And then other times you go, I'm going to add that to my library. I might play it now. So I had I've had a couple of guys actually of Sonic Forces, which was a Sonic game from a couple of years ago. The thing that gets me is that it keeps stopping to give you cutscenes, which are animated cutscenes, very much like I'm watching a cartoon for kids.
Sure, yeah.
Which is fine because that's how they're telling the story. But I don't want to watch them. I just want to play the levels.
And you can't skip?
Well, the odd thing is, you know the noise you get from a PlayStation when you've gotten a trophy? It's the same noise that the PlayStation gives you, like a little notification noise, when it has stopped you from being able to stream or record the cutscene. So I keep going, oh, what have I got a trophy for? Oh, I've not. I'm just going to watch this. But the actual levels are wild. They're so fun because they're very, you've got a mixture of old school, but it looks new. The camera changes around. Like sometimes you'll be side on, other times you'll be behind Sonic.
Okay, so it's the two style.
Yeah,
okay.
Which I quite like because you know how fast Sonic can go.
You've got to go fast.
And it's out of control sometimes. And you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it just adds to the hecticness. You die a fair bit, but you always did die in Sonic movies.
Tell me, does
games.
It make the sound?
Yeah.
When Sonic gets hit and you hear the multiple rings drop like, on. Ding, that song is
I had 100
in my
something
soul.
Of those. I haven't drowned a Sonic yet because that's a noise as well. You know, when your time's running out,
yep.
It's very stressful.
It's a tense game.
It happened, but no, it's actually quite good fun.
Nice. Shay's just gotten into some of the Sonic games.
I think she wouldn't mind it. I think
she might even have that one. I think she got Sonic Forces and maybe Sonic and Mario Tokyo Olympics or something. Which is.
Yeah, I know. That may or may not happen, but you'll always have the game.
Always.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
Last night after The Walking Dead, which I'm sure we'll talk about in
we
a minute, saw the return of Ride with Norman Reedus for a new season. First episode was Through Georgia with Michael Rooker. It was great.
The brothers are back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Merle, he's quite a character and it shows.
Yeah.
They randomly drop in on one of his cousins.
Do they?
And abuse her for not having a butter bread ready for them. Or like,
it has to be buttered.
Oh, no, it's some sort of southern.
Oh,
like,
right.
I think it's like damper.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, he met up with Eugene at NASCAR and got to drive the pace car.
I saw that in the ad.
Yeah. There's a lot of very southernness to it.
He was doing a lot of things.
Yeah, but driving down towards Atlanta and stuff like that, good episode. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that show is back.
Yeah.
It's entirely dependent on who the guest is. As to what my interest level
will be. Yeah, but it reminds me in that respect of Travel Man.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it was already good. He was knocking about Michael Rooker. And then they link up with, I can't remember his name, but the dude from Mastodon, really metal band from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they would all get on really well, I reckon.
Acme's number two customers, right behind Wile E. Coyote. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I watched 28 Days Later.
So that's
the
28,
first,
not 20 months. Yeah, 20 days. Yes.
That's the first one.
Yeah, with Cillian.
That's right. And, geez, he looks young. I mean, it makes sense. It was 2002 or something.
Was that his first? That was his breakout, wasn't it?
Possibly.
I think so.
Yeah, maybe it was. And
such a good movie.
It's a great movie. Eccleston. But I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen both of them, but the second one I remember really liking as well. So yes. I might have to watch that again.
Second one I reviewed for back in the day, yeah? But the first one I just really loved. I'm still bothered by that one droplet in the eyeball.
I know. I knew that bloke wasn't going to last long anyway.
It's too nice for that world.
I've seen movies and TV shows about apocalypse. I know who lives and dies. Mm-hmm. I know already. But it was an interesting time for me to watch it based on what's happening and also like the toilet paper shortage, not just in Australia but around the world. When people
of which there is no shortage in Australia.
No.
People are racing to buy stuff, but there's no shortage.
In the very beginning, it was just like The Walking Dead, where he wakes up from a coma.
Oh, totally.
Which
completely
I'd forgotten.
Gown open at the back. Yes. I think it's a full homage. Yeah. I think
No, he was wearing nothing. He was naked.
Oh.
In the movie. Yeah. He's just having a wander around. But then he puts on like surgeon green gear.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm. Yes.
He wears that for quite a while. You know, like the drink machines and stuff have been pillaged, but he finds a can of, I don't know, whatever it was, soft drink, and he's drinking it. And I thought, oh, there's not going to be much of that around because people are just going to pillage it like crazy. And he's collecting money. And I went, oh, I know what that money can be used for. If he needs to go to the toilet paper.
Wipe, wipe.
Yeah. And I'd also forgotten how quickly humans turn in that. It's like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
A lot longer than The Walking Dead, which can be any amount of time, depending on their storyline.
Yeah. Some people can last a few days. Yeah. Carl gets to write letters and see people off. T-Dog, he turned real quick back in the day.
Yeah, T-Dog. So did a T-Dog, poor T-Dog. So did the people the beta got last week.
Oh, yeah. Slit the throat.
Like, within seconds.
Guys, stand up.
Hurry up.
Let's do it.
I'm going to sit here and meditate like I'm Geralt from Rivia for a while. Mm. Yeah, so it still holds up. It's a great movie. If you want to watch the zombie apocalypse, watch that one.
Nice. Lego Masters this week was a mega city block challenge. There was a lot of skyscrapers already built, and all the teams got 14 hours, I think, to build the highest, most impressive skyscraper they could. Now, the two guys that are thus far the probably the firm champions to win, or firm favorites and this sort of stuff, they're an interesting team. So one of them is an engineering whiz, super smart dude. And the other dude is also very smart, but he's a jock.
Yeah.
And he has resting smug face and he rubs people the wrong way.
All right. You've got to have one of those in the show.
That's it. And he's all positivity and pumping up. And the other guy is super nerdy engineering and this sort of stuff. So they built an amazing 14-story tower building, bigger than everyone else's. Really impressive. And then when it was time to move and go put all the cityscapes together.
Yeah.
They rushed. And the jock guy turned away for a moment and it rolled over. The table on wheels rolled over one single brick and it bumped the table and the top 8 stories fell onto the jock. It smashed everywhere. And we're like, oh no.
No.
And these guys who did have immunity used it last week.
Oh no.
Now, the quiet guy had a bit of a breakdown and stormed off and this sort of stuff. Everyone settled down and then they came ready for judging and everyone's in there. And then there was a twist and they got to go back. And round two of it was they had to have an alien or a monster or something attacking and destroying the city.
And it was him.
So they were stoked and they managed to use plenty of the time to rebuild what they'd had of the tower and then made a giant smog monster. This giant billowing black cloud built out of Lego bricks. Threatening. Amazing. Stayed in the competition. I really felt for it. Like, oh my God. As someone who builds a lot of Lego, the breaking down Lego is not a fun activity, but the idea of smashing it unintentionally is terrifying. So watching it happen in slow motion to these
over
guys.
Over and over again, I bet they showed it.
They showed it a few times,
yeah.
But I really felt for it. And just the quiet guy who's such a whiz at this stuff, just you could see him not be able to process how things move forward after this.
Man.
So it was really high intensity drama being on a Lego competition.
I'm exhausted by that.
I know.
Far out.
It was good. Hey, can I tell you other ones just real quick?
Yeah, go.
Some bullet
Power
points.
Power through.
Have you got some more?
Oh, they can wait.
No, but I want one more from you.
Okay, I've got one more.
All right. Well, I was just going to say Man vs. Food came back for a new season.
Different host, yeah?
So it's not Adam who used to host back in the day. I think he did the first three, maybe four seasons.
Right.
They're up to season eight now with Casey, which means he's now been going at it as long, if not longer, than the other dude. Enjoying that. There was a new Nickelodeon prank show called The Substitute. Celebrities get put in makeup and this sort of stuff, and they go in as a substitute teacher or something like that. Shay was very excited because there was one with JoJo Siwa.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and she was a fill-in teacher or whatever at a science museum teaching about space.
Oh, yeah, like a school excursion kind of.
Yes. Yep. And so there were prosthetics on her face and makeup and hair, like wigs and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, do you think someone had put black all around the telescope lens?
Wild and crazy.
So a lot of those sort of things. She loved it. It was awesome. It was very cheesy. They've got a lot of wrestlers involved in some episodes. Mm-hmm. The Bella Twins do one. The kid from Henry Danger's in another one. I think Troy Sivan, Aussie singer, he's in one. I don't know. They've got a mix of pretty cool people and stuff. But, yeah, she really enjoyed that. Lots of giggling. If you're looking for a prank show that is pretty suitable for younglings.
That's the one to go for. Mm. Fantastic.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I watched another older movie, Desperately Seeking Susan. I believe it was the first movie that Madonna did. And she basically plays Madonna in it, which is why a lot of people think that that's her better acting role in a movie.
Sure. I can't say I've ever seen it. I've seen the poster. I'm aware of it. It's one of those things.
It's the one where she dresses up as Madonna.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got Rosanna Arquette in it, who is the main star of it. And, there's all this weird stuff going on. And why is Rosanna Arquette's character so obsessed with Susan? And a few other people want Susan. So when Rosanna Arquette picks up a jacket that originally belonged to Susan, there are people baddies
like
after
she's
her.
She's seeking her desperately.
She desperately, and then she gets amnesia. Oh, there's so much going on. And I remember watching it when I was quite young and thinking, I don't like this one. It's not as funny as Who's That Girl, which is a funny movie from later 80s, because she's got the short blonde hair by that stage. But this one's more for your adults. And boy, is it 1980s. It's brilliant. I loved it. Yeah. And you get to hear Madonna's Into the Groove and watch Madonna dancing to it. Get into the groove. Well,
that would be pre-Vogue, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Way before. It's probably about.
So it was a lot of shoulder bop.
Yes. Dance. This is probably about 85 and Vogue would have been 90
for sure.
Because that came out with, was it on Dick Tracy or was it on Immaculate Collection?
Tracy was 91.
Yeah.
There was that three-year bubble that started with Roger Rabbit and ended with Dick Tracy. Mm. Everyone going, yeah, let's get back into a crime film, see?
Do it again. That Dick Tracy movie was, yeah. And it shouldn't have been because it had so many famous people in it.
Yep.
Do you remember it had even Dustin, what's his name?
Hoffman.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman was in it. But you couldn't quite tell who they were because they covered them with
bad prosthetic.
Yeah. Decreasing. So Desperately Seeking Susan. I think if you watched it when you were a kid or you haven't seen it for years, it's not bad. I didn't think it was that bad watching it again, but I did watch it a weekend afternoon.
Low stakes.
Yeah, they were super low stakes. It was that or some sort of fishing show on television.
Rex Hunt.
Probably. Do you reckon he still does that show?
No. No, he got booted off that a long time ago.
Okay. What about Andrew Ettinghausen? He
E.T.
used to do, yeah, he used
Isn't
to do.
Isn't he weather?
I think he used to do fishing stuff as well.
I know, I'm thinking Tim Bailey.
Oh, Tim Bailey definitely does weather.
Yeah, I think you're right. E.T. likes a bit of the fish.
Mm. He's a very smiley man.
He is. Mm. He's done well.
He really has. Yeah. What
yeah,
else?
Rex Hunt, he's been worried about those thugs in the scallop industry.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry, that's a quote from like 10, maybe even 15 years ago. But, you got to watch out for those thugs in the scallop industry.
That's a brilliant quote.
Yeah. He used to get angry on the radio, Hinge style.
Yeah, right. Okay, I know exactly the kind of radio station he would have been on. Fantastic. Anything else you watch before we get into The Walking Dead? We've got a quiz coming soon too.
Oh, very briefly, I'll say I mentioned it last week that there was a Hawaii Five-0 and Magnum PI crossover. Mm. Finally got around to watch it. It was really good fun.
Good fun? Yeah. Was this the first one?
Yes.
Do you reckon they'll do another?
No, because okay. Hawaii Five-0, this is their final
season. Of course.
Four or five episodes left. It was just a fun crossover. Someone... You know, there was potential Chinese spies going to share information and they had to capture the data file and, oh, no, now one of our guys has been kidnapped and stuff like that. So they didn't have all the main characters from Hawaii Five-0, but instead they used it as a good chance to, spotlight a lot of the B-tier ones and elevate their story. It's good fun.
I like it when crossovers work without being cringy.
Yeah, and look, the thing I think that worked most about it. So Scott Kahn, who plays Dano, he was not in the crossover episodes, and he wasn't in the Hawaii Five episode either of it. He was just removed, and it worked really well because putting the guy that plays McGarrett with Magnum, the two of them worked. I think if they'd had Dano there. It would not have worked in the same way.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many cooks and just he has a very different energy.
Okay.
Whereas those two are both former war heroes, proper heroes.
Right.
Who've tried to suppress the information of the stuff they did because they don't want people knowing how good they were.
So that's what they're bonding over.
So quick, like, you're a PI, you're a rogue CIA or whatever. What's this sort of stuff? Mm. And then when they actually, you're the White Knight. Oh, your dad is. Once that happens, the two of them suddenly click and it works. And it's a shame that Hawaii Five-0 was ending because I would love to see more of that. Yeah.
Could he do stuff in Magnum, do you reckon?
Potentially, but part of the reason Hawaii Five-0's ending is that's the dude that hurt himself years ago.
Ah, okay.
And he just has so much pain doing the action stuff.
It's all too difficult for him.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, let's get into some Walking Dead.
Do you want to know something that I wasn't expecting?
What? That you liked it?
It was a really good episode. Because the last few have been.
I like this one because it had the Winterfell battle for Winterfell feelings, but I could see what was going on.
Yep,
it was obviously on a smaller scale, but that made you feel like these guys may not have a chance.
They put everyone in there together. I mean, the only two people that I'm feeling are safe. Daryl is 2,000% safe because we know he's re-upped. And I want to say Eugene because he's just lined up a date for next week.
He's the link, link to the other.
But what if Eugene dies and Rosita goes to the meat?
Yeah, maybe.
Looking very sad.
Very sad. Sorry, I'm not Eugene. But
it can't happen. They've got to introduce Stephanie.
Yeah, that's right. So the people I think are going, definitely Ezekiel.
Oh, yep.
His storyline's finished.
He just had sex.
Yep.
It's the golden rule of any horror film. You have sex, you die.
And he showed everybody, well, not everybody, but he showed a couple of people his lump, which he's been hiding for ages, and he said to Daryl, dude, I've got cancer. So he's going to go out there, sacrifice himself to buy people time.
Will he roar like a tiger as he's taken down?
For Shiva!
Yes.
I hope so.
I want something like that.
What if the ghost of the tiger comes back and protects everybody?
Maybe he could fight tiger style.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I kept thinking, if only they had a couple of Danny's dragons. Fight fire with fire, because that's what the Whisperers are using.
Oh, man, tree sap would suck.
I liked how they were all like, what is it?
When they started throwing, I'm like, are they lobbing shit?
Oh, well, I wouldn't put it past the Whisperers.
That's an old tactic. You lob carcasses and shit overwards because then you're throwing disease and dysentery into the enemy stronghold.
Do you reckon they were told not to? As in, we can't have that on the television?
Oh, I don't know, but it's a thing from history in that. I don't need to see it done.
Yeah.
But
I did notice, I must admit, I noticed it in photos that Negan's mask actually has smile lines, almost like the Joker. Thought that was a nice little.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, nice little thing.
So next week is when he's going to take out Alpha, right?
I assume so.
Once he shows up there and realizes that Judith's there, he's not letting this happen.
And Lydia.
Negan ain't letting anything happen to Judith.
Kids. That's what it's all about. So. With Negan, it's kids, yeah. And her total disregard for her daughter, I think, is something that will sway him.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a great moment where we're all like, yeah, Negan took out Alpha. The problem is done. And no.
And Beta's going to walk up and wave at everyone.
Beta's just in charge of the nuclear bomb then, and he's far less stable.
Mm. I like that it ended on a cliffhanger. I liked that Eugene's first line of defense didn't work properly, and you saw his face. He was like, that took me ages to do.
I don't care. That dude sung Iron Maiden.
Yeah, he did.
And he can sing.
He can.
Yep.
He really can.
They let Eugene sing Iron Maiden and I was happy. That was good.
Better than that song that Daryl had to listen to.
I got to give props to my boy Daryl. There's some great acting this week.
Him with Judith I quite liked.
Yep.
And with Ezekiel.
Yes. Him opening up to Ezekiel really hit. I was like, wow, okay. This dude doesn't open up to anyone. So there's a lot of respect going on in this and a lot of unspoken stuff. Andrew Lincoln leaving the show might have been the best thing that could have happened to it.
It's wild to think that we're so far away now from when he left and we still know hardly anything about the movie. I don't even think they've finished writing a script or anything.
I don't think so. I mean, what's he been gone now? Is it
2 years, is it?
It might be 2 years.
Yeah.
Or is it only 1 year?
Or maybe it's a year and a half.
I think it might only be 1 year.
Because I think he left
halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a year and a half. It feels like ages ago.
And Michonne's been gone for a while.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. I thought, oh, yeah, she's a hilltop with it. No, she's on a boat, y'all. She's on a boat. So next week will be very exciting. Mm. And if it's not, we'll frown. Do you want to do a quiz?
Please.
All right, this quiz is called What Exact Year Was This Film Set In?
Wow. Okay, sorry, say that again, just so I'm making sure I'm internalizing that correctly.
What exact year was this film set in? So the film may have been made in 2005.
Yes.
But it may have been a historical thing or it may have been set in the future.
Okay. All right.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Let's do this thing. Joker.
The Joker, is it 1978?
Oh, you're close.
77.
Add up two more years.
Oh, is it 80?
81.
Okay.
81.
Huh.
Jojo Rabbit.
45.
Correct.
I had to think and won't say why. But
Yep. What about Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins. Oh. I want to say 32.
Earlier.
Really?
1910.
Of course, because the it's not the major or whatever, the guy on the roof.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Feed the birds, tuppence a bag.
All right, okay. 1910.
What about Almost Famous?
Oh, okay. Now.
So you know the decade.
Yeah. But it's.
It's definitely after Woodstocky sort of thing. It's definitely set after Woodstock.
Yeah, but not long after.
No.
And Skynyrd hasn't died yet, but they almost die referencing Skynyrd. So I want to say 72.
Oh, you're close. 73. That was good. You Yeah.
I was going through my head of where's Steve Miller Band fit and all that. I'm trying to piece together who was in the movie.
That was very impressive. That was good. Got a lot of time for that one. We funnily enough mentioned this movie before, The Running Man. When was that set? Clearly, whilst it was made, it was in the future.
It was made in, was it?
It was the 80s.
It could be reasonably, mid 80s.
I'd say mid to not too late.
Was
though.
It like 1999?
It was last year. Supposed to be set 2019. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, this one I think you're going to get. This is the last one. Back to the Future 2. So you got three times.
That's 2015.
2015.
1985.
Yes.
And 1885.
No.
1955.
Yeah.
But.
Do they go back? Oh, they get the, he gets the letter or something from.
Does the train? Oh, no. The dock. No.
Train. But yeah, it's all 50, it's all five.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. Good work.
Thanks.
It was difficult to try and think of ones that weren't super historical and also weren't super futuristic.
Yeah, sure. And then there's a lot of them that aren't firmly established, like your Jurassic Park, not clearly given.
And movies that perhaps were set in 1942, but then it was a life of someone.
Yes.
And that would have been a bit unfair. So, yeah, that was a good one. If you've got a quiz idea, you can always send it in to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Next week, we've got a really cool episode lined up. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have a special guest who has been on the program for a while, but not this year.
Oh, teasers.
It's been a while, and they're very popular. So we're really looking forward to getting them back on again for it's movie related. It'll be movie related. Until then, Tom, thank you.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.